All right, welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, December 29th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're joining us over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to support our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can find the donation tab on the top right side of our website. And let me set the Q&A open. All right, the queue is open if anybody wants to get in there. Star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and should be a button if you're on an Apple browser. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago with our scripture reading. We're reading 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter... Oh, it's chapter 6. Hang on a second. Let me... Yep. Read by Alexander Scorby. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And frozen up a bit. There it goes.
Chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ, and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions tonight? Or any announcements? Jan, you're muted if you're talking. We'll try again. Jan, are you there? Looks like you're still muted. Am I coming through? Eric, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming through just fine. Let me see if...
Yeah, I can hear you.
There comes Jan now. Yeah, do we have any questions tonight or any announcements or anything?
Yes, let me pull them up, John. I just got my system up.
All right.
We have only two questions tonight, John. The first one is a series of about four questions. Do you want me to go through one by one, or do you want to take them all at once?
Well, let's take one and see how it goes. I guess okay. We'll take the time.
This is a question about what NLA is doing. It says, are you doing one, notary classes?
Well, we don't do notary classes. I know we had a button, I believe, on the right side. I'll have to take a look. I know we did have a place where they were teaching people how to become a notary. I guess that's what they're talking about. And, of course, we're not qualified to teach something like that and give any kind of authority or in that kind of a position. So, is that what they're talking about, right? Become a notary?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I'll take a look. I know on the site, do you remember where that's at? I'm pretty sure we had some place on the site where we had a connection to a place that teaches people how to become a notary. But I'll look for that, and maybe by next week, or maybe if I got some time, I'll flip around and see if I can't find it. But I'm going to look for that and make sure we have something up there for that.
Okay. Number two, I don't know if this is a typo or what, but it says Attorney General... in fact classes. I'm not sure what in fact means.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the question even means. Are they asking?
Attorney General, in fact classes, are we doing them?
Yeah, well, I don't know what that really means. Of course, we don't have the authority to create attorney generals. That, of course, is the process, of our government. And the big problem, of course, is our government that is out of control. Trump, of course, is trying to rein it in and bring us back to common sense. I don't know. Well, my biggest concern is what Trump understands and knows about natural law. Because we get a lot of resistance from the courts concerning the law of the land, which they claim to know, which is really, they've changed it over to civil law. But our attorney generals, our courts, our lawyers, our judges, and judges, of course, being judges of equity and not law, all of that would be more righteous. It should be righteous. It should be, of course, an acknowledgement of the king of the court, which, of course, is Christ. And to bring us under the natural law. But it's up to the people to fix this problem. We have to require those people who have come into power and authority that they know and understand the Constitution. Clearly, few understand that, and I think it's a really very few even know the Constitution. Even though a lot of them are lawyers, they have no clue of the Constitution. They have no clue of natural law. And who we are really as a people, and the assault upon our Constitution, and the many things that need to be corrected concerning what the government has been doing over the past, 60, 80, maybe even 100 years. It's been a while. But we go all the way back to the main part of the problem, which really was the Organic Act of 1871. So it goes back that far, so that's over 100 years. Of course, it took time for them to really get a good foothold into our entire government. But everything is built upon that. that organic act. And so I think what we have to really try to push forward with, and at some point to try to educate, you know, the Trump administration, if they are not already educated in this, I don't think that they are, that the Organic Act has to be rendered null and void, and everything built upon that Organic Act must become null and void. So we have a big project to do. Okay, read that question again. Maybe I have something more to add to this. Jen, you're muted.
Are we doing Attorney General in tax classes?
Right, so we can't be teaching anything like that. We do have to deal with the bar. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about another plan. You know, I wanted to do another presentment to the administration, you know, to Trump and his administration. And I'm thinking maybe we should do a number of presentments, you know, a little bit at a time. We extend, we've been really focusing in on the main group of his administration, but there's really, I forget the number, I think it's like 24, there's actually 24 people, or 25, somewhere around there, individuals in his administration, and I think we need to copy them all. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a short while. Okay, the next part of that question, you said there's three parts to it?
There's four again.
Four.
The next one is, are we doing grand jury, where we hold judges, attorneys, and elected appointed officials accountable?
Well, of course, we've been acting as a grand jury for quite some time. We were having some grand jury meetings from time to time, you know, on certain issues. We have done some indictments, and it was agreed upon that indictment should be applied upon any judge that really defies the law. And we ended up really bringing a presentment, well, not a presentment, an indictment. As strange as this might sound, we indicted the entire federal judiciary. And there's no way to get around that. They have to be indicted, every single one of them. And even if the end results of that really is that they're all cast out of their power and authority that they've given, because they've all turned away from the law. Every single one of them have participated and continue to participate in the closing of our courts of justice. And so for that purpose alone, that, you know, what greater assault upon our Constitution, we the people, than to do something like that? We don't have courts of justice no more. And, you know, the Bar Association is producing and is the leadership of the minions of the New World Order. And many of these lawyers don't have a clue, but they are blinded by greed. Because that it's one of the major forces, I think, that drives most of these lawyers. And they've lost any sense of mercy or consideration of any human being. You know, we need to work on these things, and that's another issue that we have to address. But we did indict every federal, you know, the entire federal judiciary, you know, I'm not sure where that's going to go, but we need to write more information to the Trump administration in places that we think that they don't understand or don't know. But we'll see where that goes. And again, we're going to discuss that a little more tonight. Next.
Okay. And are we using 13 notaries to overturn a rogue judge's rulings?
Well, you know, again, it's not going to go anywhere. I've never heard of coming up with 13 judges to do something of that. I mean, I guess 13 individuals that are notaries to make some kind of a judgment on judges. I mean, look at the grand jury. The power of the grand jury is sufficient enough. An indictment is sufficient enough. If we can get people into office, and again, this goes to the people now. It's up to you. It's up to the people to get proper people into power and authority that will do the right thing. And so we need people in Congress that will actually take down a lot of these judges as they come up, as they're found that they have, really went up against the Constitution. In our Constitution, judges and many other people, of course, but judges particularly, they only get to hold their power in good behavior. And good behavior is a judge who adheres to the Constitution. And yet every single judge out there is really violating that duty and that honor that they're supposed to be expressing. So we have to deal with that. But it's up to the people to get people into power that, A, are educated, that understand the Constitution, who we are as a people. And, that's another thing we can maybe try to get the Trump administration to appreciate that point. I really do think people need to be have a test in order to hold power. And that could be done by the people requiring that and then not walking their papers if they don't know the Constitution. Why do we want to have an ignorant judge, anybody ignorant in power and authority to, put them in power authority if they don't know the Constitution? They don't know who the king of the court is. They don't recognize that we're a Christian nation. They're just totally ignorant to who we are and our Constitution. So again, I think over the course of the next weeks, we're going to be discussing things of that nature a little more in the beginning of our programs. Tonight, we're going to look at a particular issue in the beginning and see once where that takes us. But how do the people do this? First of all, if the people don't know the Constitution and they don't understand the powers and authorities of the people that we put into power, and because most people, if not almost all people, really just vote right down their party lines. Party, again, is another problem we have. Never should have been. George Washington was clear about that. But if the people don't know the Constitution, they don't know the law, how can we know when they're violating the Constitution, when they're violating the law? We can't know that. And, of course, they want to keep us ignorant, and that's why they don't teach civics and Constitution and the law and our true history in schools, because you got to keep the slaves ignorant. And we have become slaves. And I think that's become very clear over the past months, particularly with all the monies that have been stolen and that coming off the backs of the people. But we have to really get involved on the grassroots level. That's where the committees of safety come in. That's what we do, is teach people about the committees of safety and encourage them to start committees of safety within their counties. Because once the people take control under the committees of safety within their counties, they start with the local government and they start taking control of the local government. They start taking control of the school districts and what is being taught in the schools. And then, of course, that works up county to county, working together on the state level, state to state, working together on the full federal level. And, the bottom line is our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. And people really just don't know what their heritage is. And again, that's why we have those courses, lots of free courses here. You can find them under Education Starts Here and start taking our courses. Also learn a lot more about American history. We have a lot of articles and essays. We have educational videos, a lot of information on the law, and so on. Okay, next question.
Okay, John, there is a comment that goes with the question.
Okay.
We're in Michigan, and our lower court judges have refused to rule any case by law.
Hold on a minute, Jan. Start over, because you were pinging when you were talking. Maybe it'll be clearer, but go ahead, start over.
Well, I get an echo here somewhere. I did. Somebody must have muted.
Yeah, maybe Michael.
Okay. We're in Michigan, and our lower court judges have gone rogue and absolutely refused to rule any case by a law or case ruling. And they are ruling in cases for quiet titling homes they purchased at tax sales with insider trader info, and we've seen that for years. And they are judges sitting on the land bank theft of title. Now we have one more question after that. This comes from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. The city council is due to vote soon on a proposed mosque. The people need to attack the matter from a legal standpoint. Is there any way John or anyone else in the group might be able to assist?
Repeat that again. What are they looking for us to potentially assist in?
Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, apparently the city council is looking at a request to vote on a proposed mosque.
Oh, yeah.
And if people want to attack it and stop it from happening, apparently.
Well, I don't know that we could actually do that because, you know, freedom of religion. We can do something with the Somalis out there in Michigan and that whole process and system that they set up, and they're trying to get Sharia law. Sharia law, we can definitely prevent that from going forward. But again, the people are ignorant and not understanding how these things work. And but I think we're going to get rid of, let's take the Somalis, for instance, because that seems to be the big thing in the news and a lot of problems, not just in Michigan, but in many other places also. And I'm sure there may be other groups of different, you know, from different countries that are kind of doing the same thing, is trying to bring something that's alien to who we are as a people and try to create, you know, local areas and maybe cities and towns or whatever into something different, something alien to the American way. And I think a lot of this is going to be corrected. Clearly, Trump is working on that. And also the correction of resetting up on how people do come into this country, you know, and for what purpose they're coming in. And they need to understand that they have to join part of, become part of the melting pot, so to speak. Not that they're here to change us. They're coming here to be changed themselves, to really be brought under ultimately one nation under God. So, you know, so the American way is very different than any other way in the world, although there are some places that are somewhat close, but they don't have a constitution like we have. They don't have, we the people have written it. You know, and again, you know, many countries, there are over 200 republics in the world, but there's only one natural law republic. And of the 200 republics, roughly speaking, I don't know the exact number, you know, who wrote the law? Who wrote the constitution that they live under, that they act under? They call themselves a democracy, and democracy is just one step away from an oligarchy. Matter of fact, the purpose of a democracy is to create an oligarchy, and eventually, of course, that's a dictatorship. But anyway, this is a big problem. And the only thing that's going to solve this problem really is education. I do think Trump's doing the right thing, you know, trying to bring us back to the republic. And as Benjamin Franklin said, you've got a republic if you can keep it. And the only natural law republic, and that's an important point. But, all right. Anything else, Jan?
And that was the last question.
Okay. All right, I believe the queue is open. Yep, I set the queue open. Anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an Apple browser, should be a button to get into the queue, so people might want to do that. But we're going to take a look at something tonight that I worked on over the past weekend or so. And it's a presentment. I haven't really perfected this yet. It should be close to perfection, but reading it out loud really will be helpful to find any of the errors that we might have in here, or maybe help to see that maybe things could be written a little better. Or, you know, I try to keep things as minimum as possible, and yet I still maintain a lot of wordiness. So I'm very wordy, but I have really worked on most of these papers trying to really keep as little as possible. Less is more. You just have to try to say it better, consolidate it, try to say things in fewer sentences. So I'm always massaging all of the paperwork But this will be an opportunity. I'd like to read this tonight. It's not a long one. It's 5 pages, but it's not full 5 pages because, as all our papers, we're filled with a lot of footnotes, and we're not going to read the footnotes. But this is one presentment. It's an extraordinary presentment to Donald J. Trump and his cabinet. So I believe there's about 25 individuals to get his full cabinet. And so we're going to be sending this out to everyone, trying to keep this, on the one hand, as minimum as possible, cost-wise. So we're just going to do it through the basic mailing. It's not going to be served in any certain fashion, because it gets quite expensive and the other way around. And, you know, hopefully people will maybe give us some monies to help the cost here. It probably cost a couple of $100 for each presentment that we might send to all of his, to Trump and his entire administration. But what I'm trying to do is break it down one problem, one situation, and one solution at a time. And maybe send a presentment once every couple of weeks on all of the different problems that we have, the constitutional violations, because that's what we'll be covering, constitutional violations that need a serious look and really a redressing of the problems. I mean, you take the 16th Amendment as a major problem. The 17th Amendment is a major problem. You know, our court system is a major problem. Our two-party system is a huge problem. No republic, especially a natural law republic, can survive party politics. It just can't do it. And I've heard people who are highly educated and in position, and they seem to think that we need a two-party system, maybe even a three-party system. But all that, what does a party do? It divides us. It doesn't bring us together. It just divides us. And party bosses always come up, and they start to take power and authority over the group. And again, you know, George Washington was clear about this. He made this point in his farewell address, that we need to do something about this, and that parties will destroy this country. And it's exactly what it's done. You know, when you have a party that is so far outside of common sense like we have now, it's just amazing to me how people are just not paying attention. And most people, I think, are at this point. But we still have large groups of people that just they're just not paying attention. They're being fed the lie from the network news, of course, and other sources, other things. And they're believing the lie, and they've been trained to shut out anything else because correction is grievous to them. And so, you know, it's just a major problem. The only cure for this is education. That's the only cure. And that's another thing we need to do. We have to get rid of the two-party system. That's a tough thing to do. But just picture this. I mean, it's common sense. And we'll try to put this in writing. We have in the past, but we'll try to put it in one focus writing, and hopefully Trump and his administration will appreciate that, see the wisdom of it, and try to start working towards this. You know, we have a unique situation. The Democrat Party is imploding, okay, and at some point they're going to become just totally worthless. You know, and it's an opportunity to get rid of parties. It's an opportunity to just say, hey, let's be constitutionalists. That's who we are, you know. And when you have people free from the party bosses, free from political parties that are suppressing them and pressing them to go with things that are, you know, contrary to who we are and destructive to who we are, and if we can get these people, get rid of the parties, I mean, then people would actually go there to vote what? They're going to vote for their constituents, what is beneficial to their constituents. And if they're educated, and we're talking particularly about legislators here, and if they're educated properly, they'll see that they only have 18 powers, at least on the federal level, 18 powers, okay? And they're not to go outside of those 18 powers. But almost everything that Congress does goes outside of those 18 powers. And, you know, there's just so much garbage. You know, That's why we do need a Republic Review, and we support that movement of Republic Review. We're not spearheading that, but we are supporting that movement that GR has been leading. But anyway, we're going to look at this tonight, and it'll be pretty quick. People will pick up on what we're focusing in on. So I'm going to read this, and then we'll open up the queue. Well, the queue's open, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, again, it's *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an app or browser, it should be a button. We have one person in the queue, so now's the time to get in. Okay, so this is from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Let me make this a little bigger, maybe more helpful. Okay, and it's an extraordinary presentment to Donald J. Trump and Cabinet. We have informed them of all of the subject matter that we're going to be covering over the weeks. But again, we want to just reiterate some of these things and just state one point at a time and hopefully get these people to really start focusing in on some of these things. And maybe they already are, we just don't know about it because there's so many things going on and we have to deal with all of the corruption and the economic problems that are, you know, not far away from us, not far down the pike. And of course, getting rid of all of these illegals and bringing us back to some sanity. So, again, maybe they're aware of this, but I'm not hearing it in their conversation. Although, for the first time since I've been involved in this movement, in this liberty movement, which is quite a few years, for the first time I've ever heard anybody use common law in their speech or their conversation. And I did hear that about a week or so ago by our Vice President Vance and J.D. Vance. And I was surprised. So maybe they're waking up, or maybe they knew it already and going to do something about it. But he's the only one. I've never heard Trump. I've never heard any judge. I never heard anybody in the political realms. Okay, so, extraordinary presentment to Donald J. Trump and Cabinet concerning Article 3, Subsection 2, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity. Jus naturali, I think that's how you pronounce that, is the natural law or law of nature, a law or legal principle supposed to be discoverable by light of nature or abstract reasoning. And when we read the Declaration of Independence, you know, Jefferson put in there that, you know, that we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's the foundation of our founding documents. It's the foundation of our law. So the laws of nature and of nature's God. Now, the laws of nature simply is common sense. That's the laws of nature. It's just common sense. Whatever it is that is common sense to be applied upon a particular case in court, that's the application of common law. Common sense and the construction of maxims, you know, a truth that cannot be denied, such as like water can't go uphill, of course, unless you put a pump on it. But, you know, this is what common law really is. It's common sense, and that's why you don't necessarily have to be a Christian to participate, because everybody should have common sense. Although I do know there are some people who have no common sense at all, but generally speaking, most people do. So common sense is the key. And so the laws of nature, common sense, and of nature's God. Nature's God brings us back to the Ten Commandments. It brings us back to the Bible. And that's who we are as a people. And that's the law of the land. Okay, and even equity is law that is written by legislators. Okay, it's called positive law, and it's supposed to express justice. It's supposed to be things that are just and right. Those are the laws we're supposed to have, and they're not to be applied upon the people. They're to be applied upon people who are working for government agencies, or applied upon people who are working in the case on the federal level, interstate commerce, any kind of a commercial activity. So we've given these legislators the power to write equity, write positive law. But positive law, legislative law, has always been controlled and under the thumb of the rules of common law. And the rules of common law, just quite simply, is common sense. And that's why the people have the ability and the authority to overrule in any courtroom any kind of legislative law to be applied upon anybody, and to if they find that it's unjust and that it's a problem to the Constitution, then, you know, we can nullify it. So, okay, let's get back here. We'll read through this, and then maybe we'll talk about it. Hopefully people have some questions, thoughts, and ideas. All right, comes now the constituted Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Here and after, we the people, for an unprecedented presentment to President Donald J. Trump and administration. The Declaration of Independence is the foundation of American law and clearly states that we the people are entitled by unalienable rights, are under the laws of nature and of nature's God, and are not under the laws of men, also known as legislative law. We further stated that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And by the way, we consent to this through committees of safety. Whereas equity, being legislative law, is for fictions, you know, corporations, government agencies, and so on, that's fictions. So whereas equity being legislative law is for fictions and not to be applied upon we the people. Under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, we the people empowered Congress to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for the carrying into execution the foregoing 17 powers, which does not include the powers to legislate civil law to be applied upon we the people, nor to abrogate the rules of natural law, which are to govern all laws. Whereas the bar-controlled Congress, judges, and lawyers have seized control of our courts of law via the 1934 Rules Enabling Act, a seditious conspiracy perpetrated by the 73rd Congress, the American Bar Association, the United States Supreme Court, and the federal judiciary, which have poisoned every attorney, every court in America, replacing law and equity with civil law in 1938. Subsequently, together, said perpetrators did conspire and did overthrow the government of the United States of America by abrogating the people's courts of justice, turning them into dens of thieves, in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 2383 and 18 U.S.C. subsection 2384, thereby changing God's laws with man's law, and will one day face his fierceness and wrath. As Thomas Jefferson said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." Whereas the ABA, the American Bar Association, being the chief orchestrator, advocates, abates, advises, and teaches the duty, necessity, desirability of abrogating the law of the land to their minions of the New World Order, also known as bar attorneys, in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 2385. This single treasonous act abrogated our courts of law, courts of equity, Declaration of Independence, United States Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. Said conspirators have levied war against the Constitution, and thereby we the people have given aid and comfort. They have given aid and comfort to the enemy within the United States and elsewhere. They have concealed a conspiracy to destroy our republic. They have engaged in actions to subvert the government of the United States. They have conspired to conceal natural law, also known as the law of the land. They have, in congruence with the teachings of the American Bar Association, the National Lawyers Guild, the American Civil Liberties Union, and National Lawyers Association, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and many other anti-constitutional associations knowingly and willfully advocate, abet, advise, and teach that natural law, and thereby the law of the land, has been abrogated, and thus have conspired to overthrow our republic. Under the ABA's Rules Enabling Act of 1934, the 73rd Congress, without the consent of the people, enabled the United States Supreme Court the authority to prescribe rules under 28 U.S.C. subsection 2072A. The United States Supreme Court and the federal judiciary then covertly abused that authority to conceal and abridge the supreme law of the land under Federal Rule 2. According to the Federal Judicial Center, a government agency, on September 16, 1938, pursuant to its de facto authority under the Repugnant Rules Enabling Act of 1934 via Rule 2, stated that the Supreme Court enacted uniform rules of procedure for the federal courts. Under the new rules, suits in equity and suits in common law were grouped together under the term civil law. That's where the destruction began, right there. Claiming that rigid application of common law rules brought about injustice. This was an act of treason, whereas any judge who does not comply with their oath to the Constitution of the United States wars against that Constitution and engages in acts in violation of the supreme law of the land. The judge is engaged in acts of treason. The American Bar Association's judiciary's dark reasoning for abolishing common law is because they claim that a rigid application of common law rules, also known as God's self-evident truths and maxims, brought about injustice. This is absurd, considering that God is good, just, and merciful, and they are not. And therefore it follows that his law is just and merciful, while the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? The truth of the matter is that common law sheds light on the American Bar Association's judiciary's dark deeds, thereby revealing their true intentions. Their claim that common law rules brought about injustice was an act of deflection, whereas their civil law rules brought about injustice. This seditious act, under the teachings and guidance of the subversive American Bar Association and the aforesaid anti-constitutional associations, executed a silent coup by claiming the abrogation of common law with its unalienable rights that were endowed by our Creator, and covertly substituted them with civil rights legislated by lawless men. You could see how important it is to have a proper education, to know who we are as a people, to know to know the Constitution and who we are as a people. Okay, let's go back. The American Bar Association's Federal Judicial Center, proceeding under the de facto authority of 28 U.S.C. subsection 620, claimed their purpose is to further the development and adoption of improved judicial administration in the courts of the United States. One of the center's main functions is to educate and train personnel of the judicial branch of the government, including but not limited to judges, magistrates, clerks of court, probation officers, lawyers, and persons serving as mediators and arbitrators. Presently, the center's governing board is chaired by Chief Justice of the United States, John G. Roberts, Jr. As per Black's Law, law derives from precedents, legislation, or customs under three categories. Number one, common law is subject to natural law written by nature's God in his word and in the hearts of men, that he put them into the hearts. Equity under our Constitution is subject to the Constitution written by the people, by the authority vested in them by nature's God via the Declaration of Independence, which was a covenant with God and therefore cannot be broken but by his wrath. And third, civil law is subject to the state. Any law subject to a constitution written by the state is civil law and not equity, written by men whose conscience is seared. They're trying to get control because that's the purpose of civil law, to enslave the people. The Constitution defines the law of the land as common law and equity, as the supreme law of the land. whereas the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or the laws of any states, which includes the rules, to the contrary, notwithstanding. It appears that judges who are expected to know the law need to be instructed in the law, or are guilty of high treason under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2381, whereas Congress alone was empowered under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, to write laws in equity. Congress does not possess the power to abrogate natural law. That jurisdiction belongs to God, whereas ABA-indoctrinated judges think that they can change God's law. They think that they are above God and that they can just change our natural law to civil law, which places the people under the merciless, destructive jurisdiction of Leviathan. This action is the very definition of a coup, and the said defendants are therefore guilty of treason. Until we, the people, take back our stolen republic by reinstating law and equity under the rules of natural law in our courts, there will be no justice in American courts, and America will be lost, or would be lost, least until the people rise to the end to end it. James Madison said, "The people have an indubitable, unalienable, and indefeasible right to reform or change their government whenever it be found adverse or inadequate to the purpose of its institution." We, the people, agreed and codified this right in the preamble of the Declaration of Independence when we declared, "Whenever any form of government becomes destructive to our rights, it is the right of the people to alter government and institute new servants. We, the people, have the unalienable right to be free, to have access to our courts of justice, and to have government by consent." And by the way, the only way we can accomplish that goal is through committees of safety. If you don't have a committee of safety, or you haven't joined a committee of safety that's existing in your county, you need to get involved, because it's the only way we can save the republic. There is no other way. And a proper education, which you can get here from National Liberty Alliance, which we have worked many years to put together, and it's a proper education, and we need to get this into the schools too for our children. Okay, back to the paper. Let me just read that last sentence. "We, the people, have the unalienable right to be free, to have access to courts of justice, and to have government by consent. As Samuel Adams said, the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth, and not to be under the will or legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule." Think about that. How many people really know this? And, you know, we shouldn't just breeze through reading this. We need to meditate on what this really means. We're under God's law. We're not under man's law. And the only way you're going to get justice in any court is to be under the laws of God and not under the laws of men. Finally, the Rules Enabling Act violates the people's unalienable right to common law rules in courts of law, as we read in Amendment 7, in suits of common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. I should italicize that, because I usually try to italicize any kind of a quote. So, okay, dated January 5th, I'm kind of targeting to send this out on January 5th, 2026, signed by the grand jury foreman. Now, of course, there's a lot more into this paper if you look into the footnotes. We'll post this on, once we file this, we will post it on our front page with other papers that we have there. And if people haven't read these papers, you should be reading them. We have read this. I think we read all these presentments out loud on a Monday meeting. If I'm incorrect in that, maybe someone can correct me, but I think we have. But in any event, you know, we have the redress of grievances to open our natural law courts, which this paper is really more clear and targeted. We have a presentment to President Trump and Attorney General Bondi. We have a presentment to the President Trump again. We have indictments upon the federal judiciary. We have presentment to the United States Supreme Court and an addendum to the grand jury, that grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court. So if you haven't read this, it's an education. It's an eye-opener. It really helps to define where we are as far as our problems are concerned and how to address them and deal with them, which again brings us back to the people, okay? We're serving this information to the government and to the people in power, but if we don't control those people in power, obviously they will be out of control. Thankfully, we do have an administration that appears pretty, you know, from my perspective, it really is people who are really trying to really save this republic and bring us back under our original founding documents. But we the people need to get involved with this to secure that. And if we don't, then it's not going to be secured and it won't be fixed. Even if they fix it, if the people remain in their ignorance and continue to be complacent and not get involved in the political process, not politics, political process, okay, if you're not involved in that as the people, which is our duty, no matter what they put together, we'll be lost pretty quickly. Because, again, evil will always rise to the top to take power wherever it can be found. Okay, anyway, that's the end of that paper, and we will post it here. We'll put it on the top. I believe this is put together as we have, filed these papers. But this is not going to be filed in a way of serving them. Again, it's going to be in letter form, a presentment to the United to Donald J. Trump, of course, copied to his and also addressed to his entire administration. That they all need to be knowledgeable of these problems, these things, and the solution to these problems. And there's only one solution: open our courts of justice and keep judges out of there, because no judge belongs in a court of justice. No judge. Every judge is a magistrate, and it's magistrates who are to certify, seal, and push forward the will of the trial jury or the grand jury. But they're not to be there to make summary judgments, to act as a judge in any way, shape, or form, because the people are the judges in a common law court. And judges, as far as an individual, is a magistrate, and they have no business trying to suppress evidence, to prevent evidence. Look, if the evidence is bad, well, it'll be bad and the people will see it and life will go on. But they actually get rid of a lot of evidence because they're trying to prevent the case from being won in any case that is up against the status quo. And they're protecting their own rear ends, they're protecting themselves. And that's why they get rid of evidence. That's why they, say you can't use this evidence and so on and so forth. And they've written that authority to themselves. This has been written in their rules. Whenever I go into a court, at some point in time, when they bring a rule up that to be applied in that court, I'll agree to it as long as it is not repugnant to the natural law. But if it's repugnant to the natural law, I reject that rule, and I'll make my argument against that rule and bring back logic into that court. Not that they adhere to it or respond to it, but again, it's just more evidence to be piled up against these people because they all do the same thing. It's a conspiracy because what they do in New York, they do in California, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Texas, doesn't matter where you're at. It's all the same thing, and they all do the same thing. They've closed the courts of justice, and only the people can open it back up. We do need the president and his administration to spearhead this and move it forward, but we have to take control of it. And if we don't, then we don't have government by the consent of the people. We have government by the consent of these psychopaths that take the leadership control and the party bosses and so on and so forth. Okay, I guess we'll take questions now. We do have a few people in the queue. If anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an Apple browser, there should be a button to enter in. Okay, we'll take our first person here. Let's see. And by the way, like I said, to write these papers and send it out, probably a couple of hundred bucks. I mean, one way or the other, I'm going to do it. But I sure can use some assistance in this. If people can give an extra $20 or $50 or whatever they can in support of this particular project. And this is going to be papers I'm going to be writing maybe once every couple of weeks, or maybe, you know, as fast as I can do it, let's put it that way. I don't want to serve too many papers too quickly. You know, if we send out one paper, maybe we'll wait at least 2 weeks before we send out the second paper and the third paper and the fourth paper. Each one of these papers addressing the problem and the solution. And the solution brings us back to knowledge as part of that solution. Maybe the next paper should be on a proper education for people who are in places of power and authority. But, you know, really the only people who can really apply that are the people who put these people in office. And that is the statutory committeemen, by the way. The committeemen that are controlled by party bosses, that do the will of the party bosses just like the party does. Okay? But committees of safety, we're committeemen, free and independent. We can put people into office. We can walk their papers. We can require them to be educated in the Constitution and understanding who we are as a people and coming with a proper heart and a mind in order to serve the people and not to fill their pockets up or to be controlled by party bosses. Because this, you know, it's a perfect example of what's going on today to show you that parties are corrupted and they cannot ever work with a republic, at least not a free and independent one. It can't work with a natural law republic, because look what's going on. You have this entire block of one party ruling in ways that are just, make no common sense at all, that are destructive for the people, that clearly show that they're really working for the status quo and not for the people. And that's what parties will give you, and they'll always give you that. Party's got to go, and that is a very important one that we have, the paper we have to write on, and it's one for them to be hard to swallow, though. Not only that political party's got to go, but bar attorney's got to go. You can't have a group of people that are trained in the destruction of natural law. That's what they've been trained to do, and that's what they have done. They've accomplished it. Our courts are unjust. They're not just courts. All right, we'll take our first person. We got, looks like Kathy. Let me see if I can get
John. This. John, maybe that should be one of your presentments. Maybe that should be one of your presentments. The bring it up again. I know you brought it up before, but show the receipts. You know, people want to see the receipts. Show the fact that the original 13th Amendment was ratified, and it is the law of the land. I like these. I like the one you just read. The bite-sized presentments every few weeks. It's a great idea, I think, and maybe bring back up again the original 13th Amendment. Not only do they have to go, but they're already unlawful / illegal. They're already outside of the law, and at best they should be nothing more than resident aliens in the country they were born and raised in, and I yield.
Well, amen to that, Eric. I agree. And, that is kind of part. I failed to mention that because 13th Amendment is one of the most important ones there. Well, actually, they're all important. I don't know what that one could be placed upon another, you know, but above another. But, the 13th Amendment will be part of the focus on these bar attorneys when we do a paper on that. But again, you know, look at I don't have deep pockets, and just about everything I get goes into NLA and try to keep whatever I can to pay my bills, my basic bills, but it's tough, and everybody knows it's tough because everything's expensive. I need help with this, and again, I'm not asking for people to give hundreds and thousands of dollars. If everybody gives a few dollars, it's helpful. I mean, we do have some people who are supporting us on a monthly basis, giving $5, $10, $20, and there are a few people who give a lot more than that, and that's what supports us and keeps us going, keeping the lights on, so to speak. But we do need a few extra bucks a month here or there to get these papers out. But one way or the other, I'll do what I can to make sure that this paperwork flows. And again, I'm kind of shooting on a 2-week. Focus every 2 weeks, maybe write a paper, unless I'm prevented by too much work to be able to do it, and maybe it's the third week, but we'll do what we can. But I don't think we want to serve one every week, because I think we need, they need some time to digest the paper that we're serving upon them. And it'll be served as we wrote it, in the appearance of a presentment. Okay, let's take our first person. Looks like Kathy. You should be unmuted. Yep, you're unmuted. Go right ahead, Kathy. You got the mic.
I'm unmuted.
You're unmuted. What state are you from again?
Texas.
Texas. But, Kathy from Texas. Sorry,
but before this, I was in California, and California's coming after me for taxes. Mm-hmm. And I had been in the legal business for several years as an administrative assistant, and, well, actually several decades. And I brought one of the 3 years that they're coming after me for up to the Office of Tax Appeal. And I have to say, I wrote an airtight brief that has the potential to actually nullify all taxes in California. I'd like to run something by you outside of this call, if you have time, if you're available. How do I make an appointment?
Well, I don't normally do that because I'm just so busy. But, you know, I do talk to people from time to time. If you send me your phone number, well, hold on, I got your phone number.
Yeah.
Let me write the phone number down. Hang on a second.
Okay. I actually, just before Christmas, I received a notice from the Office of Tax Appeal for the second and third years that they cannot hear my case because they lack jurisdiction. And this is the Office of Tax Appeals over the California Franchise Tax Board. And the only difference from the first and the third is that I amended a W-2 claiming exempt, and I filed a DE-4, which is the California equivalent, and labeled myself exempt. So now with this new order that they lack jurisdiction, I think I can prove that, you know, that there is no California tax requirement. And I'd just like to go over the details with you before submitting a brief.
Right. Well, if you want, we could do it here also. We can talk a little bit, you know, about basic details. We can't get too deep in it, but if you have a certain point you need to make and you want to see once what our thoughts might be, you know, of course, you got to be careful what you're doing because you're going up against Leviathan ultimately. California.
I know that.
California, I think, is the worst. I always used to think and say, well, you know, it's not too much more worse or different than here in New York and many other states. I mean, look at Michigan and the problem they have, you know.
Right. But
nevertheless, I do believe that California, as far as taxes are concerned, is definitely the worst of the nation. That governor belongs in jail. I think a lot of people out there in California need to go to jail, those people in power.
It gets worse because I based my original argument on the California Conformity Act of 2015, which basically says that the California taxes must conform to the IRS code, the federal taxes. And when I did a comparison, I based my whole argument on that, and it's very, very strong. It's well put together. But I submitted my brief on September 1st, and on October 1st, California rewrote the California Conformity Act. And I was just floored because my whole brief was based upon it. So I pulled down the updated act, and I did a line-by-line comparison. People in California have no idea what is coming on April 15th, when their taxes come due. They have taken away all of the expected deductions, like for businesses, instead of a 14% equipment deduction, it's down to 2%. I mean, they wiped everything clean. And those people who were subject to the or victims of the fires in LA, what California just did is added in to their gross income whatever an insurance company gives them to rebuild. It's going to now be added on to their 2025 gross, and they'll be taxed on the higher amount. So that's why it's really, really pertinent that I get this brief right, because it has the power to actually nullify the California taxes. And I'd like another set of eyes on it. As I say, I've been in the legal profession and I've worked in the tax department for several decades. And I just want another set of eyes, if you have a moment, to go through the brief.
Well, bear in mind, these people are lawless, okay?
Oh, I know that. And I know that.
And they could be very dangerous.
I know they are.
More dangerous than ignorance and action, too. But, you know, one of the things, you're really the main point in your case should be Article 1, Section 9, Clause, Clause 4, where we read, no captation or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration herein before directed to be taken. A direct tax is a direct tax on the person. Tax is a direct tax. That's unlawful. Even though they got the 16th Amendment, the United States Supreme Court, thankfully, has ruled on that, saying that it really didn't change anything. It just put things right back into a place where it belongs. But it does not support a tax on a person's income. Also, tax on a home, is also an unlawful tax because that's a direct tax. It's a direct tax upon your property. Any tax that you cannot escape and you cannot avoid is a direct tax. And you can't avoid those if they press that upon you. I appreciate what you're doing, but you better be real careful because they're going to want to shut you down. And remember, when you go into a court or you make a position, and you're really going up against Leviathan here on this one, especially in California, when you go up, you need people behind you. There's power numbers. When you go into a court, if you're all alone, it's easy for them to take advantage of you because as far as they're concerned, no one even knows what's going on in that courtroom. And that's it,
I get it.
So you got to be careful, and you need to really get as many people behind you as possible. They need to be in that courtroom if you're in that. You're not going to the administrative thing, are you? You're taking them into the Supreme Court, the California Supreme Court?
Well, that's what I wanted to discuss is the strategy about it. Because
the only way you can look at, remember this, I went into these courts, the administrative courts, many, many years ago in total ignorance and being very naive of what was going on. And I kept talking to this guy who's supposed to be the judge, and I told them, I said, look, the Constitution, the guy says, this judge tells me the Constitution doesn't apply in this court. Okay, I got out of control at that point, and I yelled at the guy in the courtroom, and I walked out. I was really pissed off, and they did nothing. And I thought in my mind, this is a paper tiger, I should have been arrested, but I wasn't. Now, it didn't look like a court. It's like you go into this room, you sit down at a table, and this guy is an administrative judge, and you bring the things in. But they're only going to rule on the statutes that they can apply. They cannot apply the Constitution. The Constitution has no place in their court. And that's why if you do this, you've got to go into a state court, which is the Supreme. Here in New York, we call our court the Supreme Court. And so you got to go into the state Supreme Court or whatever they call it there, which is
Superior Court.
Right, and it's supposed to be a court of record, but it's not. But you want to make that point, get that all on the paper. At least you have the ability to run up the line with it. And by the way, the case I was fighting with these people was the Department of Labor. It was a labor case. And they sent me all kinds of papers and stuff, and I just totally ignored them all, and they never came out and bothered me. And later on in the years gone by, and I started to get knowledge, get involved in what I'm doing here, and get knowledge of the courts and the law and things that are going on. And I suspect when I go back is they don't have a process to really go out and collect these monies, you know, to collect the state tax. I mean, they do have the clout because they feel comfortable to, and rightfully so, to go after places that are supposed to be collecting, you know, a tax on a product that you buy or a service that you're doing, because that's a lawful tax, okay? And they do have the application. They do come out and apply that. But when it comes to dealing with the Department of Labor or you're dealing with unconstitutional taxes, at least here in New York, surprisingly, they're paper tigers. They don't come out after you. They don't come out to take your things. I really thought after this that I was really, you know, got out of control, and that they were going to come out after me and maybe put me in jail or, you know, and try to take everything I own and so on and so. But that didn't happen.
Well,
I was just
actually, California has. I have over 100 letters from them, notice of levy, whatever. I have fought every last one off. This has been going on for years. And when I put my brief in, I went through the administrative court, the Office of Tax Appeal, and actually, I requested more time, and when I finally submitted it, the case administrator called me up for something, and she said, "Wow, you really spent a lot of money on this." I said, "No, I wrote it myself." So I knew it was as strong as I thought it was,
mm-hmm.
and it's making its way up there, but the other two that came behind it, They would not consolidate it. They said, "Those two, we don't have jurisdiction." And the only thing that changed was my status of exempt. So I really think I'm standing on strong legal ground here.
But you got to be in the state court, you know, which
I know. That was my next question. So you answered the first question. If you have a moment, I'd like to email you a copy, and you can give me your thoughts before.
How many pages? How long is it? Because I don't have time to read pages right
it's
now.
It's under 30 pages.
Well, it's that's quite a bit. Look, I'll try to give you a call when I have some time.
Okay.
Available during the day?
Yeah, just give me a call.
Okay, so I'll try to call you during the day, maybe in the next week or so, and we can talk about your major points and see once where they go.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Let's take our next caller. I'm going to take, let's see, John, how you doing from Michigan? You got the mic. Go right ahead.
John from Michigan.
Hey, that's you, isn't it?
That's me, yeah. Hey, one thing about, you said about the 13th Amendment, and it's the same all the states. You think about that, we have a separation of powers, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive, and every one of them, almost every one of them in the legislature, every one in the judicial, and most of them in the executive, they're all lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyers control all of it.
The lawyers control the world. Are you kidding? They control the political process. They created the old system, the destructive process. They even created the party process. They created the statutory committee man process. They've been involved and created our education. They got their fingers in everything.
Right. All illegal because of the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment, and they built that too.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
So they're all involved in this thing, and all of them are illegal. Since they're, because of the original 13th Amendment, they can't be there. If they're taking an Esquire or whatever like that, that's a title of nobility, and they cannot be serving as a public servant. They can't.
Yeah, we should remove them with the Somalis.
Well, all the above, yeah.
Because they lose their citizenship by doing what they're doing. That's why, It sounds crazy on the one hand, but if you really look at what's going on and understand what's happening, it makes all the sense in the world, and that is the indictment upon the federal judiciary. And that's what we indicted, the entire federal judiciary. Not that we expected anything to happen, but it's a future thing because it's really building a case. It's part of the case building against them. And I do think Trump's coming along with that, and it's not just the federal, because it's the states. They've also, you know, jumped on board and turned us into turned civil law, put us under civil law, and very destructive, especially in their traffic courts. They're constantly fleecing money off you, and they're just destructive. They're just so evil. And they will put you in jail if you don't comply to their stupid civil laws.
I know. All right, here's I got like double, three, four questions. I just kind of read them things off, and then I want you to get some things under. First one is, what should Trump do right now? Okay, that's the first question. And the second one is, let me read them. And I says, and then the next one I have written down here is, when, you know, we do all these things, and when they don't reply, we have an airtight paper. We've got them dead to rights as far as they're breaking laws, they're violating the Constitution, they're violating the oaths of office. When they don't respond, where's our enforcement on this thing? You know what to do. And then I got just notes here. You know, that none of the lawyers have licenses. They have bar cards. I know in Michigan I have a builder's license, and I know exactly what they look like. And not one of those lawyers has a license, a state license. There's no control over them. All of them have bar cards, and a bar card is no more than, it's a membership card to your local builder association. It's all it is, okay? Or it's a lawyer association. Right. And then last thing you said about Michigan, it sucks over here, but the one thing we have that you guys don't have, we got 20% of the fresh water in the world, so they can go pack sand. I don't care.
Yeah. All right, so what is your question now? You said you had...
The first one is, you know, what should Trump... We're all saying we should do anything. What should Trump do? What should the vice president do? What should the courts do right now? I mean, I know we want our common law courts back.
Well,
most
look,
people don't even know what that is.
In order to get these positions that we'll be bringing forward, and we've already brought these positions before them already, but now we're doing the entire administration... and we're doing it in letter form under a presentment from the grand jury, and we're doing it one point at a time, which will take months to get all these points out, I presume. I haven't sat down to figure out how many points we have to make, but we have quite a few that need to be corrected. And the thing is this, is education, that's key. What we really need to do is to get educated, or get all of the people in his administration educated. Now, we have sent them a copy of the book, Government by Consent. Everybody in his administration has a copy of that, and of course Trump also, and hopefully they're reading it. And all we need is a couple of them to read it, because if a couple of them read it, they'll see the power and the authority of the people, and understand and truly understand who we are as a people. And really, you know, if they got a strong Christian mindset like the vice president seems to have, okay, you know, if they got a strong Christian mindset, once they get through this, they start to realize who we are as a people, that we are indeed a Christian nation, that the governor of our court, you know, the king of our court is Jesus Christ, and that we're under laws of nature and not the laws of men. So that's the main thing we have to get in, and it's one point at a time. But we have to get, if we can get the entire administration in one accord to realize these points that have to be corrected in order to return back to a natural law republic, because we're so far away from it, in order to do that, you need a strong power spearheading it. But you also need the people involved in it. If the people aren't involved, the spearheading is only going to take us to a point for a short period of time, and we'll fall away from it very quickly. Because, you know, you can't have government by consent without the people getting involved and educated and consenting to the government, from the lowest form all the way down in the village, or all the way up to the presidency. And if we're not doing that, then nothing we do is going to stick, or nothing that Trump and his administration is going to stick. But we got to get a conversation going, and the only way to get that, and we're talking about a conversation national, a national conversation, a real conversation that people have become aware of, and really moves through, the different places like X or YouTube and Rumble, to get this conversation going. And there's a lot of conversations, okay, and one of them, of course, is getting our courts of justice back, which is what we talked about tonight. But, you know, we have to get rid of political parties. You know, America will never be what it should be without getting rid of political parties. And that's the hard hump to get over. I do believe that if... You see, the problem with people, you know, is... how is it, was it put? It's not what you don't know that's going to hurt you or get you. It's what you think you know that ain't so. That's the point that's going to kick your butt, okay? And so therefore the problem is to get people to listen. And to get people to listen, you know, there's that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. Well, that's the same thing with all of these people. You know, once you start off on a situation that people think they, oh, I already understand what's going on with this, and this is crazy talk, and so they don't listen. But if you can get them to listen and to consider the possibilities as they read through the papers, I do believe that they can be gotten to, and we can change minds, a mindset. But these people are true believers in the Bar Association. Most of these people in power are part of the bar. You know, they're lawyers. So they're true believers in that. They're true believers in the parties. I mean, you know, we're really a blind people when the people can't see how destructive political parties are. You know, the people get so frustrated. I've heard this since I was a kid. People were frustrated with this whole thing. They've been, and you know, that goes back into the 50s and the 60s. And these people are just, you know, they just don't care. They just continue to destroy us. But politics, the political politics is what kills us. You see, there would be no politics if we didn't have parties. We'd have the political process. We'd have debates, constitutional debates, you know, on law, you know, making law within the powers and authorities, those 17 powers that we gave them, okay? And we'd have people executing and exercising the Constitution if they knew it. But they don't even know it.
Well, you know, John, the Constitution doesn't apply to you and me. It doesn't apply to the man and woman. It applies to our servants.
That's right, you know? But we got to know it. And we can't know we're breaking the law if we don't know it.
Well, you're right. All I'm just saying is that, you know, in Michigan, the Article 1, Section 1 of the Michigan Constitution says all political power resides in the people. I said, okay, how about the rest of it? They said, what's the rest of it? That's right, all of it resides in the people, so we're supposed to be the master here, and they work for us.
Right. Well, they're supposed to, but they've turned the whole thing around, and they believe that they're the masters, and they rule over us. They actually truly believe that, because they got power and authority, and if anybody doesn't understand that, you can go to the lowest form, and that's the lawyer, and start dealing with a lawyer with justice and righteousness and what the true law is, and you'll all of a sudden you'll start to realize on how much they think that they are an authority over us. And lawyers aren't even elected. But let me tell you, lawyers have extreme amount of power because they exercise and execute the laws of the New World Order, of Leviathan. Okay, and they're true believers in this. Every once in a while, you get a lawyer that wakes up. I mean, I've only met a couple, but and I've met a lot of lawyers. Okay, every once in a while, a lawyer wakes up, and then they leave the system, or they do the best to try to work through the system, but it's very painful because the whole system is defunct.
Well, you're right. The bottom line is there is no answer. I know that, and it's just so frustrating. You know, my parents were involved with that in the 50s and 60s, the John Birch Society, all the way through, and I fought this and fought this and fought this for 60 years, and nothing has changed. I swear, John, nothing has changed. Yeah. It got worse.
Well, you see, the problem, I've approached I guess you'd call him the president of the John Birch Society some years back when I got involved in, you know, the Liberty Movement here. Mm-hmm. And I happened to go to an event up in Albany, and the president, I guess that's what he was called, you know, the leader of the whole thing. I was talking with him. Back in those days, I was pushing forward the committeeman process. I thought that was something that the people can get involved with and take back control. But they can't because it's controlled by party bosses. I found that out later. But I went and spoke with this individual after the event and was talking with them about, you know, you should try to get people involved in the committeeman process so that we can take back control. Well, they don't get involved with the political process or the politics. And I thought to myself, well, there is no hope if they don't do something. They got to do something. You know, they teach people the problems, but they don't teach the solutions, or they don't exercise the solutions.
Well, you know, that was the education is a total strategy, and I'm not sure. I can't remember what it was. It was Robert Walsh you were talking about. You know, I mean, and I met him. I talked to him, and that's showing our age. But nothing has changed in 50 or 60 years. Nothing has changed.
It's
not going to
until people exercise their unalienable right of government by consent. Mm-hmm. If they're not going to do that, then nothing is going to change. We may get at some of these changes by the Trump administration, but it will not stick. It will all be lost. Maybe by the time we have through our grandchildren's lives, maybe by then, that it's going to be lost. It'll be lost in a few generations. Because once they realize that there's nobody watching them, nobody holding their feet to the fire, nobody tying them down with the chains of the Constitution, as Jefferson put it, if that's not happening, then you can't have the liberty that you expect to have. You can't have a Constitution that is upheld by the people who are supposed to be obedient and are doing the job that we put them there to do. Again, you can't have any of it. So if people don't step up and get involved in their communities, local grassroots, and start working on these problems together, not only within their counties, but county to county and eventually state to state, if we're not going to do that, then you can't have this republic that our founding fathers gave us.
You're right. They've got the kids so dumbed down now, they don't know what a man or woman is, and they have no idea where their rights come. A lot of them can't read, can't do math. I mean, it's insane. Well, they've dumbed down to nothing.
Well, they look at these people are pretty sneaky and wise in their own ways, in the sense that they knew all they have to do is take over the young. That's why they've controlled the schools. That's why they got central education. And little by little, they demoralize them, little by little. I don't even know if they do the Pledge of Allegiance anymore in schools.
I'm sure they don't.
I wonder if anybody knows that. Maybe people who have children in school right now, and they know whether they're, saying the pledge. You know, look, I pledged allegiance to the flag every day of my life, minus Saturdays and Sundays and summer. But when you were in school, every time you went to school, the beginning of school, and I went to a Catholic school, so we always had a prayer in the beginning of school, and we always had the Pledge of Allegiance. And so you're taking an oath right there. I pledge allegiance. This is an oath. I pledge allegiance to the flag, you know, and to the republic that it stands for. One nation under God. I mean, that is an oath that we've taken as little children and in most days of our lives as we went through school. But I don't know if they do it anymore. I really don't know.
We're brothers of different mothers, I think, Guy.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I think we're brothers of different mothers, I think.
I don't know why you're mumbling.
Same thing. I did the same thing. We're about the same age, so.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right, yeah. I think we're only months apart.
Well, so. All I just say is, if I'm so smart, how come I'm not good-looking and rich, so.
I'm just saying,
it's just frustrating, and I know exactly why people are not doing much, because nothing seems to make any difference. And I wish I knew the answers. I thought I knew the answers when I was younger, and I've just figured out that I don't even know the questions anymore. So,
you may be right on some of the older people, but on the younger people, they just don't even have a clue. I mean, some of them do, of course, but most of them, they really don't have a clue. And they're not being taught anything that's right. They're not being taught morals. They're not being taught that they have a duty to return back to, you know, this great nation. They're not taught about the civics, they're not taught about the Constitution, they don't know the law. All these things is what empowers us. Without the knowledge of the things we're talking about, then you have no power. And they fill the gap. Look, technology is a blessing, but it's a bigger curse than anything else. I remember you know, working, you know, contracting, and eventually, you know, I got this typewriter once, and it had a memory in it, and I thought it was so great because I can type up two or three pages, and if I made mistakes, I was able to go back and fix it real easily and then run off a bunch of copies, and it was really fantastic. This was like pre-computer days.
Right.
And later, of course, I got, Windows 3.0, that goes back to, goodness, 1989 or 1990, I think it was 1990. And wow, did it make my job so much easier, especially writing papers and putting things together. And I wrote a book on you know, different procedures of construction that, you know, for the people who worked for me, that they would proceed in certain ways. And it was just so powerful. But on the other hand, it has become so destructive. Okay? Mm-hmm. And people have these stupid phones that they call smartphones, and it's just making them dumber and dumber. You know, there's no real conversation. It's tweets. And it's probably, of course, there are some things, you know, that, you know, you do get good conversations, different people out there doing podcasters and things like that. So there's a good side of it, but it's mostly destructive. No child should have a smartphone. I think it's really a major problem when a parent allows a child to have a smartphone. They shouldn't have a smartphone, or shall I say a dumb phone. They shouldn't have one of those phones until maybe a certain age, when they're responsible enough. But it's just destroying our children. I see what these kids talk about and do, and I'm just blown away by, you know, the lack of empathy, and, you know, it's just pretty bad out there. But, you know.
You know, if your only tool is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. You know that? So
yeah.
if you got to drive a nail, a hammer's a great thing to have. If you got to organize words and papers and stuff like that, a computer's a wonderful thing to have. Okay, so they're all good and they're all bad at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Pre-computer, and again, I got in early on the computer, but pre-computer, you know, it, especially in my research and studies, what I spent a month to learn with a computer, I'd get it in a day. You know, I'd spend a month of time putting something together, but I could do that entire month's work in one day on a computer.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's, you know, very powerful, but it's very destructive too.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to somebody that I learned how to use a slide rule, and the first thing we had to do was learn how to logarithms works in a slide rule, because you had to do it on paper first. Okay. So.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, yeah, I will. I'm just commenting. I was just getting stuff off my. I'm ticked. So, carry on.
Okay, John. Good call. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to our next caller here. Let's see. We got Walt from New York. You got the mic. And by the way, Walt is the last person. So if anybody else wants to get into the queue, *6 and a 1. Or there should be a button there if you're on an app or browser to enter into the queue. Well, Walt, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi, John. I want to ask you a couple things about notaries and about FOIL. First thing is, jure at notary is different than a regular notarized statement. You know, you swear to it that it's the truth, and then it becomes official. It's powerful to judge that document technically by law. But here's my question. Are all notaries, if you ask a notary, will they do a jure at notary for you, or are there just certain notaries that do that?
Well, that's a question. And a jure at notary, you define that. Is that one that makes you swear to the papers, or what is a jure at notary?
Yes, they're a witness to it. The notary is a witness. They make you swear that's the truth what you're saying. So then it becomes an official court document that once.
Well, every notary that I, well, at least the bank that I do business with, and everyone in that bank is a notary. So I mean, you know, it's a credit union, and maybe all credit unions operate the same way, but everyone in there is a notary, so you can get a notary easily any day, any time.
Yeah, but will they do a jure at notary, though?
Yeah, when I go into a notary, and I do it often, okay, they make me swear to the contents and ask me if I'm knowledgeable of the contents and swear to it, it's truth. So if that's what you're talking about, I think it's basic on all notaries, no?
Okay, I didn't know that.
My bank, they all have a seal, too.
All right, okay, second question. I got some things to tell you, John, make me happy. If I want to FOIL up, say, court records I have family up there in Avon, New York. One of his sons is in the Greenford jail there falsely and stuff. And I sent stuff to that correspondence to that judge. And there's also court records I like to see, foil them up. How can I get them, and can they deny me those public records?
Well, look, at you don't go to the judge for that. You can go down to the records room, and I've done this before, and you can pull any case you want and read through it. Now, there might be, and then you can make copies, too. Unfortunately, they charge you, I don't know, I think a dime or even a quarter a page, which is ridiculous, but in any event, you know, I've gone through cases. I haven't had a problem. Now, if there's certain information that might not, you know, that might be blotted out in those records, for instance, if a child has a testimony in a case, you know, they may blot certain things out like that. But
okay.
I haven't really come up to that. Any case I wanted to look in, you go down to the county building, and you go to the records. And you can get into any case you want in the past.
I'm in Florida right now, and I want to get those up in New York State, so I just send a foil through the, like a certified letter or fax them or something and request those records?
Well, you don't have to FOIA them. You can just go get it.
Yeah, but I'm 1,100 miles away.
Well, you can write a letter, I presume, or you can make the phone call. They're going to charge you to copy it and to mail it to you. I would try. You know, there was a case that was here in New York State where they're just charging so much money for information. You know, and in the case, basically, I'm trying to think what this case was about. It's the point of the case really that's important. I think it was trying to get a list of all of the people on a certain party in a certain election district in order to walk papers, and I think that's what it was about. And you would go in to get that list, and if you wasn't one of them, in other words, part of the committeemen, and you were kind of coming in on your own to do these things with maybe a group of other people, they would charge you an arm and a leg for this list. But the parties, they gain these lists, and they hand them out to the people within certain districts so that they can walk them. But in any event, my point was this. They were charging an extreme amount of money, okay, lots of money, hundreds or thousands of dollars to try to, depending on how many people on the list you wanted and what the district was. And it was just out of reach to most people because it was so expensive. And it was taken to court, And the point that was being made was, why does it cost so much money? The person only has to go over there and just click a button on their computer, and the whole thing runs out. It can go on paper, or it can go on, you can give them a thumb drive, or you can give them a CD, a DVD or something, CD, and they can put it in there and just put everything on there. And I remember doing this and arguing with them, and when I went in, they made me wait, like, I don't know, 3-4 weeks. And by the time that I was able, they call me up and say, you can come get it. And when I went there, they still didn't have it written, you know, run out. And when I was there at the you know, the desk, or the counter, let's say, is in I was in the count at the counter waiting to get this, and they went over to the computer, stuck a CD into the computer, pushed the button, and a minute later pulled that out and gave me the list right there. But they made me wait 3 weeks. The Board of Elections, that's where I went to get this. They made me wait 3 weeks. I had to do a FOIA, and I had to wait 3 weeks and then come back to get that. And they could have pushed the button right there. Just put the CD in, push the button, and give it to me. But
who do I ask specifically in the court for FOIA records? Who do I ask?
Each county has a records department. You just get on the phone, and you can get the information if you want to write a letter, or you can maybe be able to. You can request it on the phone, but they'll probably tell you they need it in writing, and they could probably do it either by fax or email.
Okay, two more questions. If the case has been adjudicated, he was found guilty, but it was a sealed indictment, phony, it's ridiculous, can I still get those records now if the case has been decided?
Well, as far as an indictment is concerned, first of all, once it's executed, it's no longer sealed. I would imagine.
That's all I want to ask you. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, John. Thank you for this information. I'm going to tell you something. I hope I don't want to reveal it so that the enemy hears this, but here's what I found out, okay? I've done it already 2 times, okay? It's serious. I'm foiling the records not to get the records, John. I'm foiling the records because then they're going to send me a bill. I have to pay them first. Now, let me tell you what happens when you do this. I send them a check for whatever the copying cost is going to be. What I found out, it's like 7 years ago, John. It's incredible what I'm going to tell you. If you don't want me to say it over the air, I'll tell you over the phone. It's beyond belief what I found out. But I'll tell you, if you stop me if you don't want me to continue.
Oh.
What I did was I sent a check to the court clerk, and she was giving me trouble giving me a receipt. They wouldn't put the name where I'm paying it to. So what I did was, after they cashed the check, John, the court, I went down to the bank, and I talked to the officer who's helped me with this, bank officer, and I said, I want to see who endorsed that check in that court, who did it.
Mm-hmm.
John, when I found out, John, it's going to blow your mind what I tell you, who endorses these checks, it doesn't matter what city you're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's offshore, the money's money laundered. It doesn't, you send it to this certain, like, say I send it to Livingston County court clerk, that's what I did, or Livingston County clerk's office. It doesn't get deposited in Livingston County clerk's office. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened in one of these cases within the last 6 months. The money was deposited, and I went to my bank, Chase, and they told me, yes, it's unauthorized bank deposits, what they're doing. Because here's what they did, John. Okay, it's not endorsed who you sent it to. Who you address the check to, it's not endorsed, and it goes into a bank account that nobody even heard of. So then, after I put in a complaint to the bank about this, I says, where's this money going? And they look into it, John, and they'll tell you it's an unauthorized bank account because it's a phony bank account. Here's what happens. I'll show you the back of the check. When I sent it to the clerk, Livingston County clerk, that's Livingston County, New York. All right. It was deposited in this other bank. It wasn't their bank. And then once I put in a request to find out what's happening here with this endorsement.
Was the check made out to the county clerk?
It was made out to the clerk.
Yeah, county clerk, for instance.
Yes, here's what happens on the back. When I got a copy, see, you get your bank statement at the end of the month. They only show you the front of the check. But you say, you have a right to see the back who endorses it. So it's a special request.
They used to return the checks, and they don't do that no more.
You can request it. John, you can request it.
Well,
here's what I've seen.
I know with me, I go online, and I do my checking. I'll check my accounts and everything online.
Okay,
and
you can do that. I can't do computers.
I go to a place where there's a check, and if you click check, it gives you a picture of the front end.
Let me tell you what happens here. What I'm going to tell you, I got to remember this now, is beyond belief. Beyond belief what was discovered. Even Chase Bank told me it's correct, what you're saying. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what happens. On the back of the check, it says for deposit only, and you could almost couldn't read it, John. And it was going to this bank account, a bank that's not even their bank, because I think it was a Castillo Bank was their bank, and it went into a different bank, and it was small typed letters, like it was typed in. And I said, that's not their bank. And then what happened, John, is after that was typed on the back where it's endorsed there, they stamped it over that. It says paid to the order of somebody else going into the correct bank, but the one it was paid to never deposited it. They never deposited a check in the Castillo Bank after I caught them. So what happened was, here's what Chase did. It was, I think it was $10, John. They redeposited $10 back into my account. So I got the documents I requested from the clerk, but I never paid for them because they're doing money laundering. And here's what's going on, John. I did it before in Livonia, New York, too, their court. What's going on, John? Nobody hardly knows this. I'm going to say it. If the enemy hears it, I don't think but we can still do something. I hope there's enough people going to hear what I'm telling you right now. There are no bank accounts in any town towns anymore. It's been taken over. It's bankruptcy. It's no longer the United States of America.
Let me just say something about these different fees. You go down to the clerk court, you know, the county clerk, and you pay the court fees, or you pay, you know, for your a license or a permit or some documentation that you want, or even just an ID, okay?
Yeah.
All that money that they collect from that, I've always realized and known since I became conscious of the problems in our government. First of all, that's all unlawful. The only time that they can charge you a fee, let's say a court fee, that's for fictions only. The United States Supreme Court has ruled on this and made that point very clear, that this is only for fictions, okay? You can't require people to pay for justice. You can't require people to pay for an ID or even a driver's license. You can't require these people to pay for any. This should all be free, because first of all that money, I think, I don't know where it goes, but I've always thought, well, it goes into the pockets of some people, because I don't believe it goes in back into the government per se for anything to do for the people. It's whatever they can do for themselves. And maybe it has something to do with retirement also and different illegal things. Especially now we're seeing all these illegal things and all these, not just billions, but trillions of dollars that are being stolen from the people on a regular basis. But all this stuff, we've already paid for this. That building is paid for. We paid for the electric and the heat that goes into that. We've given them computers and desks. We pay their salary. All that is done. Why are they charging us anything? The only lawful charging that they can do is for a fiction. So if you're going in there as a corporation, yes, you should be charged a fee. If you go into court, and the United States Supreme Court has ruled on this already, that is, you're going into the court, and it's a fiction going into the court, a corporation, then they have to pay the fee. But you can't collect a fee off of the people, okay? And so this doesn't surprise me, because I would imagine it wouldn't go into a government bank account. It goes someplace where...
Jack, can I say something? Please, let me finish this. Here's what we can do to these people. We can hold them accountable this way. When you find out, they're supposed to have a bank account. It's the town court, wherever it is. It's not going into that account. It's going into a secret bank, and nobody knows about it. If you can catch them, that's a crime. So
right.
You can file criminal charges, because what's happening is the thousands of dollars are going into this court every week. It's not going into the treasury of that town court, the bank account. It's going into a private secret bank, and they're stealing all the money, and that's a crime. We can get all these judges on that. You see what I'm trying to tell you?
No one is going to allow that to get into the courts. They're going to protect the status quo. And, yes, this is something that is huge, huge, you know. This is, you know, I didn't understand where or how or what, but I always knew that all this money that we give these people for court cases and stuff, it has to be going somewhere where they are benefiting personally for it, and other people are benefiting personally. So this is a collective thing, probably on a state level, or even a federal level, where maybe this money goes to some place. That's controlled outside of the government, but on a large scale, a state or a federal level, and then redistributed in certain ways, maybe for a better retirement or whatever. You know, the retirements that some of these people that work for the state that get is just unbelievable, their retirement plan. You know, they really, a lot of money involved, you know.
Yeah,
but,
so the last thing, John, yeah,
I don't know how or what, but I know that they're doing something illegal with it. There's
John, all you got to do is look at the back of the check. When you make a check out to somebody in the government there, you're paying it to them. It's supposed to go in their treasury. You look at the endorsement in the back, you will see a hanky-panky. It always happens, and you can look into that and find it's going into a secret counterfeit bank account. You can see it, and you do what you want to do it when you find out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just tell you that.
Again, I don't, you know, that's an uphill battle if you wanted to make it. We have to fix the problem. You know,
yes.
justice will never be applied upon everyone who deserves the arm of justice upon them, because it's so big. It's just way, way too big, you know? So,
yeah.
But if you look at the line on any check that you write, okay, there's a line there, and that line is actually words, and I'm looking at a check right now because I don't remember what it says. It says, if I can read this, let me see.
Yeah, they put it in small print so you can need a magnifying glass.
Yeah, it looks like a line, but it's really a sentence, and I can't read it because it's way too, I could see it's letters, but I just can't read through it, it's just too small. But I forget what it says, but again, it's another con job.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Now, John, one more thing I want to tell you if I got time real quick. About 2-3 years ago, I filed a lawsuit in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. It's a constitutional court. That's the name of it, U.S. Court of Federal Claims. On behalf of President Trump, when he was denied access to the Supreme Court, remember he wanted to file suit because the election was rigged, and he said you have no standing in this court? I filed a case in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims saying that I am petitioning this court to summon President Trump into this court as a president of the United States of America, not the United States Corporation, and his attorneys to suspend their bar licenses to common law lawyers. And here's what they did with it, John. You need to hear this. They sent me, it was during lockdown, they sent me a letter back, and he says, thank you, Walt, for your correspondence. We understand. Now, I fill out all the court papers. We understand you do not want to file a lawsuit. Thank you for your correspondence. We cannot send the papers back to you because of the lockdown. So what I did, John, as soon as I got that letter back from that court, I called the clerk, and I said, what are you talking about? And I said, who sent it? It was unsigned, the letter they sent me. I said, I didn't just send a correspondence. I sent a petition, a lawsuit to your court. I'm going to send another one. He says, yes, sir. And I said, if you're going to respond, you sign your name to it. They did the same thing, John. I sent a duplicate lawsuit on behalf of President Trump and his common law counsel. And they said, thank you. They sent the identical letter, unsigned, saying, thank you for your correspondence. We understand you do not want to file a lawsuit. John, because what I presented was,
hold on a second. You're telling me, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're telling me is that the U.S. Court of Federal Claims is as corrupt as any other court.
Well, how I found this out, what I did is, John, is one time I had a case, and I wasn't suing the government at all, the United States of America. I was suing somebody else working in there, corrupt people, and the judge put me as the plaintiff, Judge Margaret Sweeney, U.S. Court of Federal Claims. I had the lawsuit, John. I'll give you the case number. You can look it up. And she sent me back all my paperwork to clerk. And I was docketed. They accepted my case. And they said, I'm the plaintiff, and the United States of America is the defendant. And I protested. I objected to the court. I said, I have nothing against the government. Just these people in the insurance agency, the bank, and people working in the government. So what the court did, John, was they changed the defendant to the United States. And I said, what the hell is this? And then she gave the Judge Sweeney, she gave her decision, court decision, 2-3 pages later, and she said this, John, this is how I found out about the bankruptcy. She says, I have no jurisdiction in this matter because I'm not a judge of the United States. How about that, John? Mm-hmm. So the government of the United States of America, it's Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, 1938, it's gone. It's all gone, John. And I told you about the last time I told you, they stole the Bill of Rights. They're gone. So what they got now is the United States Corporation, and there's no law. It's all totally corrupt, like you're saying. It's run by the Bar Association. So we got to get that public. You go into court and you expose it. That's how you beat them. You see, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I know this is not.
And the thing is, and we've been working at this for quite a few years now, and it's a matter of collecting evidence and proving conspiracy. And when one court does the very same thing as another court, each one of these judges, they do the same thing, and they throw you out in the same way, or they respond in the same way, well, that proves conspiracy, because all of it is fraud. And yeah. But now, once you get to that point, you got to get, some way to enforce it. And right now, you know, we used to think, or you know, the sheriff would be the right place to try to get the enforcement. But for a sheriff to act on their own, it's a very dangerous thing because they'll destroy a sheriff. You got to get a bunch of sheriffs working together. But in the things that we're talking about, to really bring these things back to where they belong, we need a big power, and that big power is the Trump administration. But you also need the people, because without the people, nothing will stand and endure time. It just won't work. It won't happen. So the people have to be behind them. And so the people that are behind them, they got to get involved. And all the political process, and I don't like to say politics because I know the statement has been all politics is local. You know, forget politics. We don't belong in being involved in the politicking. We belong to be involved in the political process, okay, to put statesmen into power and give them the powers and the certain authorities that we give them through the Constitution. But unless the people start working on that and require an educated individual, educated in the Constitution, educated in who we are as a people, okay, obedient to the Constitution, and until we're ready to do that, nothing is going to stick. Everything is going to be just fruitless. And that's the message we've been trying to push to the people for a long time. By the way, we only
Scott,
got...
The last thing I'd like to say, just one more thing if I could. Thank you for letting me speak.
Sure.
And I try to listen to your Bible study Wednesday night. There is a religious book that says exactly all the things are being used against us in the courts against Christian or Christian nation. There's one religious book. It's right there mandated. It's the Talmud. They're using that Talmud in the courts to destroy your Christian nation of the United States of America, John.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that. I don't understand how they'd be...
Look at the laws in there. They lie deliberately. It's called the Kol Nidri Vow. I'll tell you, if you don't know what that is, please look it up. Kol Nidri Vow.
Spell that.
What that is once a year, they say it, right? And it says, any contracts, oaths of office, any deal we make for the upcoming year... It's null and void. We don't have to keep it. We can lie in the courts when they take the swear to tell the truth. It's under the Kol Nidri Vow. They say it every year on the eve of the Day of Atonement in every synagogue. They say it all. So what I'm going to say, John, is they're counterfeit Israelites because true Israelites wouldn't do that, John.
Well, look, like in anything else, the United States, on the one hand, is evil because of all the evil it's been doing, but it's not the people. It's the people that have robbed the people of their power and of their authority and have taken control. The same thing with any other group of people. It's not the group of people that's necessarily evil. It's the people who are controlling that whole system, you know, and that's the problem. And often that's misunderstood, and simple-minded people, you know, become prejudiced and really miss the whole point at this point, okay, you know. The United States has been working to destroy the, you know, any kind of a government that would be for the people. You know, we've been creating democracies all over the world, and the people are so ignorant not to understand that the purpose of a democracy is to really bring people under an oligarchy, and that's it. Then it's over with, you know. But people don't know that. They think we're a democracy. They think that's what we have to be. But we've been creating democracies in order to destroy governments around the world. And again, it's not the people. It's not you and me. It's the people that are evil that have taken control and using our government for their own purposes, ultimately controlled by the New World Order. So, okay, we've reached the end of our time. Good call, Walt. Appreciate it. And... I'll look into some of these things. Can you spell that last thing you said? I didn't even understand the words.
Okay. You will find it. It's called the Kol Nidri Vow.
Can you spell that?
I try to remember. Is it K-O-L, I think, or something like that? K-O-H-L? N-I-D-R-E, Kol Nidri Vow. It's done every...
D-O-W Vow?
Eve of the Day of Atonement, they do it. It's like crossing your fingers behind your back when you say something. That's what it is, and it's to destroy Christianity in the United States of America.
You know, look at the world. In the world, you have tribulation because the world rejects the message of Christ. You know, Fortunately, we are in a Christian nation, but it's becoming less and less, considering the problems. Look, at in the world, you're going to have problems. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be denied, as Christ said. You know, if they're going to do this, talking about going to the cross, if they're going to do this in a dry a well-watered tree, a green tree, what are they going to do to the dry tree? And, of course, we're the dry trees. You know, the Lord was full with the gospel. He was the gospel. You know, we don't have that much gospel in us. But in any event. Okay, we've come to the end of our program, so...
Good night, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. All right, good night, everyone. And by the way, anybody wants to join our Wednesday night Bible study, we have that study right here in this room, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, every Wednesday. And right now, we're doing the seals. Let me think. I think that's what we're doing. Yeah, we're part two of the Seals of Revelation. Anyway, hopefully we'll see some people there. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night, everybody.